Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We return to our passage in Jeremiah 31 that we left off with yesterday as we continue our series of interpreting Old Testament texts in the light of New Testament Scripture. And the whole premise is that the New Testament is given to us as an advancement in knowledge and understanding in divine truth and as a means to clarify some of the mysterious things that were said in the Old Testament, and that wherever New Testament writers inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, whether they are Christ or the apostles or one of the other inspired writers, comments on an Old Testament passage, we should give careful attention to what that writer says and consider his understanding of the Old Testament passage to be superior to any other possible opinion or interpretation, because it's the only inspired interpretation that we possess. So back now to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." So we have seen thus far that Jeremiah, by the Spirit of God, is declaring something future to him and something new to his experience, namely a new covenant in contrast to the covenant under which he and the other people in the nation of Israel were now operating, the one that they were now inaugurated into and were held responsible for. And there are some things about this covenant that are familiar to even New Testament believers, but there are things which are distinctly different. In fact, the distinction is emphasized in verse 32 by the words, "not like the covenant." Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. This new covenant is going to be different. There may be some things that are the same, but it's going to be different. And it's going to be different from the covenant that I made with their fathers at the time that I took them out of Egypt, based upon the law of Moses. So we know precisely what covenant he's talking about, namely the Mosaic covenant, as opposed to the Abrahamic covenant or the Noahic covenant or the Davidic covenant or whatever. But Jeremiah specifically describes the Mosaic covenant in terms that could apply to no other covenant and says it is this one that the new covenant will replace. It is this one that the new covenant will make old, because the new covenant's going to replace this one. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers," etc. Now, we looked at a few of the similarities yesterday, but now I want us to notice the differences. And the differences primarily center on two things. The new covenant will be characterized by internal transformation and by universal application. At least that's what it appears to me in verse 33. First of all, internal transformation. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That's what's different. There's going to be an internal dimension to this new covenant that was not true under the old covenant. Namely, an inward work of God, an inward transformation. As he puts it here, I shall put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Under the old covenant, the law was essentially external to the children of Israel. Not written on their minds or in their hearts, but written on tables of stone, in the case of the Decalogue, and written on parchments, in the case of the rest of the law of Moses. It was written down. It was kept carefully in the tabernacle and the temple. It was proclaimed and taught by the priests when they were faithful to do their job, and by the kings of Israel, again, when they were faithful to do their job. It was something that was available to the people. It was something which they heard. It was something they had access to. But it was not something that was written in their hearts. It was not something that was made a very part of their inward being by the work of God's Spirit. But in the New Covenant, that will characterize God's dealings with His people under the New Covenant, namely, that there will be internal transformation. There will be an internal work that will write the law of God on the hearts and minds of God's people. And the second thing that seems to be different is its universal application. What do I mean by that? Well, we'll have to read the scripture again, and then I think it'll become clear. The last part of verse 33 says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is not what is different, but then this in verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. There, under the new covenant, every member of the new covenant community is going to know the Lord. Right? That's what's different. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, from the youngest of them to the oldest of them, from the poorest of them to the richest of them, from the person of lowest degree to the person of highest degree. Any way you want to measure this, it's a rather general statement, from the least of them to the greatest of them. But it seems to encompass all of these ideas. The idea is that every member of the New Covenant community is going to have a personal knowledge of God. Nobody who belongs to the New Covenant community will need to be evangelized. Nobody who belongs to the New Covenant community will need to be saved. That's different from the Old Covenant. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Evidently, under the Old Covenant, that was very much necessary. And indeed, our survey of the Old Testament history reveals that that's exactly so. For most of Israel's history, it appeared that only a minority of the members of the nation of Israel really knew the Lord. And it seems like the vast majority of them didn't really know Him in a personal way. They were members of the Old Covenant community. They had been made members of it. They had been inaugurated into it. It was designed that way so that there would be people of the Old Covenant as members of the Old Covenant community who were brought in by a physical relationship because of birth, children born to their parents, circumcised at birth, and so forth, brought into the Old Covenant community in this way. But that didn't mean that they were regenerate children of God. They had to come to know Him, even as members of the Old Covenant community, participating in the terms of that Mosaic covenant. They still needed to know the Lord. They needed to come into a saving relationship with their God, which they did not have simply by virtue of being a member of the Old Covenant community. But that's in contrast with the New Covenant. Again, verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. In several different phrases, from several different ways and angles, God basically says the same thing. Every member, every genuine member of the New Covenant community is going to be a regenerated, born again, regenerated and born again are two ways of saying the same thing, is going to be a regenerated child of God. They are all going to know me. They are all going to have their sins forgiven. In contrast with the Old Covenant, in which, by God's design, many members of that Old Covenant community, members in good standing, members who had as much right to consider themselves members of that Old Covenant community as those who genuinely knew the Lord, but many of them who were full-fledged participating members of the Old Covenant community did not know the Lord in a saving way. They knew him externally, they knew him intellectually, but they did not know him in a saving way. They needed to be saved. They needed to be pointed to a personal relationship with God. They needed to be reminded of their need to know the Lord. But in that day when the new covenant comes in, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. Now this is highly significant. That's why I took so much time with verse 34, because this is profound. But in general terms, what Jeremiah is saying is, this new covenant will not fail like the old one did, because God is going to do an inward work in the hearts of all of the members of the new covenant community, which will guarantee its success. The problem with the old covenant was that too many of the members of the old covenant community did not know the Lord. They had no transforming inward work of grace in their hearts. They were religious. They were circumcised. They were members of the community. They participated in the Passover and in all of the other feast days and all of the rituals and the ceremonies and the sacrifices and the priesthood and the offerings and the prayers and all of the things that were part of the external ritual, but there was no heart transformation, and therefore they were going through the motions and trying to offer God his prescribed worship and trying to offer him obedience to the terms of the Mosaic covenant and all that was required of them, but they didn't have any heart for it. They didn't keep it because they didn't want to keep it. They didn't have a heart that desired to. There was no inward heart transformation. And therefore, the Old Covenant failed because the people who belonged to the Old Covenant community did not truly know the Lord. Well, we'll take it up again on Monday. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.